Every mountain shall be made low, and the crooked places shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. I tell you this morning, there is beyond the azure blue a God concealed from human sight. He framed the worlds with his great might. And because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. And life is worth the living just because he lives. If you have your personal copy of the world's bestseller, I want to call your attention to the book of Romans, the 4th chapter. I want to look at one particular verse, 25th verse, Romans chapter 4. And verse number 25. I want to thank Brother Brandon Harris for the tremendous job he continues to do. Thank Brother Rutledge for a splendid song service. Thank Brother Trey Foster for the excellent reading of the scripture. And Brother Michael Alexander for a tremendous prayer. Romans chapter 4, verse number 25. You have that, say amen. Who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Using that reading, I want to talk this morning from the subject, the empty tomb. How? The empty tomb. Why? The empty tomb. How? The empty tomb. Why? Now today is recognized in the world of Christendom as Easter Sunday. And on this day, unprecedented attention is given to the resurrection of Jesus Christ, rising from the dead, never to die again. There is no doubt that the New Testament sets forth the resurrection of Jesus as the heart of the gospel. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is the supreme act of history. The resurrection of Jesus Christ proved that he is the Son of God, and it validates all of his proclamations. It validates all of his performances. It validates all of his promises. So it will be our purpose today to look at some dimensions of the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There are three things I want you to think about in this message as it develops today. And that is, it doesn't make sense. First point, it doesn't make sense. Getting understanding. The second point is, the empty tomb. How? And the third point is, the empty tomb. Why? Even though we're living in a modern world, this is April 2012, and even though the resurrection took place over 2,000 years ago, it still is relevant and speaks to us today. The wise man counseled a long time ago of all you get and get understanding. One day, a eunuch had returned from Jerusalem and was reading his Bible, but he was not reading his Bible with understanding. Therefore, the preacher man asked him, "Do you understand what you're reading?" Luke chapter 24, verse 45, the Bible says that Jesus opened their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. And I'm saying today that the death, the burial, the resurrection, the church, and all those things associated with it doesn't make sense if we do not get understanding. We have to understand why this is important. And we have to understand that it is important because the human race was and is down and out. Now, according to 1 Timothy 1:15, it's called a faithful or trustworthy saying, and it says that this is a faithful saying, and it is worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus, or Jesus Christ, came into the world to save sinners. That's why the church, the cross, the empty grave only makes sense in light of the fact that Jesus was on a mission. And the human race had gotten itself into an inescapable situation. The human race had gotten itself into an irreversible situation. The human race is earthbound, but it needs heavenly help. And according to Jesus Christ, he said that, well, people don't need a doctor, but sick ones do. And according to Jesus, there are no well people from a spiritual standpoint. All people are sin sick and need the services of the great physician. According to Jesus, all people are spiritually blind and need the insight. They need Jesus Christ to open their eyes so they might understand and so they might see. According to Jesus Christ, all people are guilty before God in the great moral universe of the universe. And everybody here needs Jesus Christ to be your advocate or your lawyer, where he can represent you in court so your charges can get dropped. Is that all right? And the only way you can get your charges dropped in the great moral courtroom of the universe is Jesus Christ must be your Lord and your Savior. Now, one Jesuit priest put it this way. He said, the world is a stage upon which new players in new costumes continually play the same play. Well, when it comes down to the work of Jesus, Jesus Christ has not done a repeat performance. He is not doing something that anybody else could do. I'm saying this morning that what Jesus did is unique. Because Jesus is the only one that can save us from our sins. This is made clear by his statement in John 14:6. I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man comes to God but by me. This is made clear by Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. So the only hope we have, brothers and sisters, is the gospel. The gospel of Jesus Christ. This is why Paul said in Romans chapter 1 verse 16, for I am not ashamed. Are you ashamed this morning? Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of this gospel, and I'll preach it wherever I go. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, read so beautifully by Brother Trey Foster. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you. For I delivered unto you, first of all, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures." I'm saying this morning that the three pillars that span the bridge from time to eternity are the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And I want to say this morning, if the gospel is not true, then write "finished" over the church door. Haul down the blood-stained banner of Prince Emmanuel and erect in its place the blackest flag the most blatant infidel could ever hope to erect. But I tell you, the gospel is true. The empty tomb speaks to you. Amen. That's why Paul said in the book of Colossians, he said, "All the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are in Christ Jesus." He said, "We are complete in him." And then Paul looked back, swept along on the wings of divine revelation. He looked back as far as he could look. He went back to the creation and he saw Christ, the firstborn of all creation. Then he took a panoramic view and he saw the human condition. Men were being ruined and destroyed by sin. But then Paul looked again and he saw a crucified Savior. He looked again and he saw a blessed Redeemer. He looked again and he saw the reconciler between man and God, the one who makes peace between man and God. He looked again and he saw a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's vein. He looked again and he saw a balm in Gilead to heal the sin-sick soul. He looked again and he saw a burden bearer and a heavy load sharer. He looked again and he saw a hiding place from the wind and a covert from the tempest. But let me tell you something. None of this makes sense. Here we are today all dressed up. And one thing about it, we're dressed up, but we do have somewhere to go. It's bad to get dressed up and ain't got nowhere to go, isn't it? You know, people don't dress up with and don't have nowhere to go. Well, this doesn't make sense logically if we don't understand about this empty tomb. I want to deal with two questions. How was it empty? Why was it empty? And why does that matter to you? Amen. I know you got to go to work tomorrow and you got to go to the doctor and you got appointments next week. So why? How does this empty tomb speak to you today? Well, first of all, when you talk about a tomb, you're talking about a grave. So the question is, how did Jesus get in the grave in the first place? Because as long as you're alive, you don't need a grave. Hello? It's all right to have one in reserve, but while you're living, you don't need a grave. So the question is, what is he doing in the grave in the first place? How did Jesus get in the grave in the first place? And here is a sobering reality. All of us are moving toward the grave. Huh? You don't have to be old to die. I've seen some beautiful corpses, but they were still dead. And somebody put it this way, it is better to have a wooden bed than a golden casket. I think that's saying something. Give me a wooden bed any day rather than a gold casket. Is that all right? So the question is, how did Jesus get in that grave in the first place? And why does it matter to you? You have your Bible? Let's go to Matthew chapter 17. Let's look at verses 22 and 23. Matthew chapter 17. Let's look at verses 22 and 23. Brother Hillary, Matthew 17. I think this will explain to us how he got in the grave.
And while they abode in Galilee, Jesus said unto them, The Son of Man,
shall
be betrayed unto the hands of men.
Is betrayed. First of all, he got there by route of betrayal. Anybody here ever been betrayed? Just pat your feet this morning. Betrayal can be a painful thing, can't it? So he said, the Son of Man is going to be what, Brother Hillary?
Shall be betrayed unto the hands of men.
Unto the hands of men. Watch this now.
And they shall kill him. And the third day. He shall be raised again.
Come on.
And they were exceeding sorry.
And they, when they heard it, they didn't understand the import of it. They didn't understand the meaning of it. And they were really upset about it. But I want you to think about something. How did Jesus get in the grave? And the answer is, he was killed. And sometimes, semantically speaking, sometimes words can be more provocative. You know, we read in 1 Corinthians 15, it says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, wherein you stand, by which also you will say, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, for I delivered unto you, first of all, how did Christ die for our... But let's think about it this way. Christ was killed for our sins. Doesn't that grab you a little more? He didn't just become ill and die of some illness, but he was killed. They killed him for me and you. He was killed for my sin. He didn't just die. They killed him. Why? Because he was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquities. The chastisement of our peace is upon him, and by his stripes, glory be to God, I'm healed. So he was killed for my sins. He didn't just die. He didn't catch a cold one night and didn't get up the next morning. They killed him. You want to know how he got in the grave? We're talking about a tomb, but the question is, how in the world did he get in there in the first place? They killed him. And so he deliberately knew that every step he took was a step toward the cross. He knew they were going to kill. He predicted it. Brother Hillary just read it. And I want to let you know that the Bible says in John chapter 1, verse 14, and we beheld his glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. I tell you, Jesus Christ is full of grace and he's full of truth. And every step he took in his ministry was a step of grace. The step he took from the Jordan River through the hills of Judea to the Lake of Galilee was a step of grace. Every step he took from Bethlehem to the house of sickness, to the bed of trouble, to the grave of the deceased was a step of grace. Every step he took along the route where they killed the prophets and they stoned them that were sent unto him, it was a step of grace. Is that all right? Every step he took up toward Golgotha's hill, where they hung him high and stretched him wide, it was a step of grace. Is that right? And then when he got up from the grave with the death, with the keys of death and hell swinging around his waist, it was a step of grace. Is that all right? And then when he ascended back to heaven and sat down on the right hand of God, it was a step of grace, because he was full of grace and truth. And that's related to me. So how did he get in that grave? They killed him. He didn't just die. They killed him. He was put to death for my sins. But watch this. And then the record is he was buried. Now, when folks die, what do? I know there are many means of disposing remains, but the most common practice from a biblical perspective is when people die, they are buried. So the record is he was killed. How did he get in the grave? They killed him. After he died, they took him down from the cross and they put him in a brand new grave that nobody had ever used. But he would only need that grave for about a few days. So they put him in the grave, and his enemies were very careful to make sure he didn't get up from that grave. Now, we understand, as we've done a logical progression, we've looked at the fact that he was killed. And we involved in that. All of us here today helped to kill him. I know y'all don't like that, but that's a fact. My sins put him on that cross. Your sins put him, but he was willing to take a lick for me. In fact, he took a licking and kept right on ticking. Is that all right? He's greater than the ever ready bunny. He just keep going and going and saving and saving, because that's what kind of savior he is. Now, when they kill him and put him in the tomb, it was their intent that he remain in that tomb and never come out. So the enemies took extraordinary measures to make sure he remained in that tomb. So let's look at three possibilities. The tomb is empty. There is no dispute about the grave being empty. Even the enemies admit the grave is empty. Mohammed got a grave, but it ain't empty. Abraham Lincoln got a grave, but it's not empty. Dr. King has a grave. It's not empty. President Kennedy has a grave. It's not empty. Saddam Hussein has a grave. It's not empty. But the grave or the tomb of Jesus is empty. And the enemies and the allies alike agree that the grave is empty. Now let's look at three possibilities on how it's empty. Can we look at three possibilities? Number one, the tomb is empty. Let's explain. Now, of course, if we went outside today and we saw the streets were wet, we could mentally and logically backtrack and say, Well, it must have rained. Or Birmingham Street Sanitation came and they cleaned the streets. Is that right? Anyway, we're trying to figure out why the streets are wet. We're trying to figure out why the tomb is empty. Because it's empty. They're not arguing about whether it's empty or not. They're trying to explain how it got empty. So number one, did his disciples come during the night and steal his body away? That's what Psalm said. And it's interesting, they told the folks to say, they told those who were guarding the tomb, when they ask you, tell the people that ask you that while you were asleep, the disciples came and stole the body. I want to raise one question. How you know what happened while you were asleep? When you sleep, you don't know what's happening except in your dream. And even then, when you wake up, you can't hardly remember that. Is that all right? So there's one possibility that this tomb is empty because his disciples came and they stole the body away. Now, let that marinate for me. Can you let that marinate for me? Y'all want to let that marinate? Well, let's meditate on it. Here's a second possibility. That perhaps when they took him down from the cross, he really wasn't dead. But he was unconscious. So when they took him down, he really wasn't dead, but was unconscious. And when they put him in the grave, he revived and somehow, Bianca, escaped. Y'all think about that one. We're trying to figure out how that, as I said, no dispute about the grave being empty. Enemies, critics, and friends alike agree that the tomb is empty, but the question is, how? Here's a third possibility. He was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father. Brother Hillary, let's go to Acts chapter 2. Everybody, turn your Bible to Acts chapter 2. Brother Hillary, I want you to begin reading at the 22nd verse. We're going to go through verse number 32 and see if we can just find out. We're trying to figure out how that tomb is empty. Is that right? You have Acts 2, 22. Listen to this. What does it say? Read it.
Ye men of Israel.
Ye men of Israel.
Hear these words.
Hear these words. Now, this is Peter's standing up with the 11 apostles. They're preaching the first gospel sermon of the commission on the day of Pentecost, the birthday of the New Testament church, the birthday of the Church of Christ, the birthday of the church you can read about in the Bible. Is that all right? Here's the sermon, some of the contents of the sermon. What does it say?
Jesus of Nazareth.
Jesus of Nazareth.
A man approved
of God.
Among you by miracles.
By miracles.
And wonders.
And wonders.
And signs.
We saw him open the eyes of the blind.
Which God.
We saw him make crippled legs walk. We saw him make twisted limb straighten at his touch. We saw him when a woman touched the hem of his garment, she was healed instantaneously. Is that all right? He was a man approved of God by miracles, signs, and wonders. Read.
Which God did by him.
Which God did by him.
In the midst of you.
As you yourself. And y'all know he was a miracle worker. He was a miracle worker. And y'all know he was. Read.
Him. Being delivered by the determined
counsel. He was delivered for my trespasses. He was delivered for my transgressions. He was delivered for my iniquities by the determinate counsel of God. God wanted to save me. So the only way he could save me was he had to deliver or give up his only son. He foreshadowed that in Abraham. Abraham had a son in his old age. Amen. And God told Abraham, go and offer that son as a living sacrifice or a dead sacrifice to me. What an ordeal. What a strange command by the Lord. But his ways are not like our ways. His thoughts are not like our thoughts. That's why I bow to his sovereignty. Because he's God and I'm not. Amen. And I know he's wiser than me. He's powerful than me. Is that right? So if I'm smart, I yield to God. Abraham, in obedient faith, takes his son to the place, and he's about to kill his son, and God intervenes and said, don't do it. But when they put God's son on the cross, God did not intervene. He died for my trespasses. He died for my transgressions. He died for my iniquities, because all we like sheep have gone astray. We have gone everyone to his own way. You see, I've done my thing. Hello, y'all. I was singing the Isley Brothers song. It's your thing. Do what you want to do. I can't tell you. I can't tell you. I'm going to leave it right there. I can't tell you. Is that all right? Read, Brother Hillary.
Being delivered by the determinate forecounsel of God. And foreknowledge of God.
You have taken.
And by wicked hands. You have crucified. And slain.
And killed. You killed him. You slew him. He was innocent. He didn't deserve to die. I deserve to die. But you killed him. Read.
Whom God hath raised up.
The tomb is empty, Birmingham, Bush Hill. The tomb is empty. How? He just read it. Read it.
Whom God hath raised up.
Read.
God loosed the pains of death. Because it wasn't possible. That he should be held in that grave.
That's why after 3 days, how did he get out of that grave? God, disciples didn't come and steal the body. He was not unconscious when he came down from the cross. He was dead. Is that all right? For 3 days, his corpse or his lifeless body lay in that grave. 3 days, dead. Lifeless, a corpse. His body is laying in that grave. But on the third day, the angels came down from heaven. They rolled the stone away. Jesus got up by the glory of God, took the time and folded his grave clothes so neat, took the keys of death and hell, had them swinging round his waist, saying, I am he that once was dead, but because he knew we were coming. He knew he was going to need his help. Read, Brother Hillary.
David speaking concerning him,
said what?
I foresaw the Lord before my face.
He was on my right hand.
I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice. And my tongue was glad. Moreover, also my flesh shall rest in hope.
In other words, I got hope because he got up. Read.
Because you won't leave my soul in the grave. Neither wilt thou suffer thine holy one.
And your holy one.
To see corruption.
Your body is not going to decay. Your soul won't be left in hell, Jesus. And your body is not going to see corruption. Read.
Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with the countenance.
You'll make me full of joy. Read.
Men and brethren. Let me freely speak unto you.
Listen to this.
Of the patriarch David.
Anybody know anything about David? Patriarch. Read.
That he is both dead and buried.
He's dead and he's buried.
And his grave, David's grave,
is still filled. Now, if his body has returned to the dust, His dust is in that grave. Hello? We got the sepulcher of David right here. Read.
Therefore, being a prophet, knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruits of the loins,
that his offspring,
according to the flesh, would raise up Christ to sit on his throne.
Read.
He spake of the resurrection.
That's what we're talking about this morning, the resurrection of Christ. Read.
That his soul was not left in hell.
His soul was not left in hell.
Neither his flesh did see corruption.
Nor did his flesh see corruption.
This Jesus hath God raised up.
This Jesus. How did he get up, church? Disciple didn't steal his body. And if you want to prove he's still dead, just produce the body. Well, Brother Moss, that's been over 2,000 years, but give me a sample of the DNA. Is that all right? But you can't produce the body because the body is in heaven at the right hand of God. Read, Brother Hillary.
This Jesus hath God raised up. Whereof we all are witnesses.
Whereof we, the apostles, we are witnesses. We saw it. Amen. That's how he got up. He got up so I could get up in life. He got up so I could go on in life. He got up so I can walk in newness of life. He got up so I could experience a peace that passes all understanding. He got up so old things would pass away and all things would become new. He got up to give me a new lease on life. He got up so my heart could be filled with joy. He got up so my name could be written down in heaven's book of life. Is that right? And then in conclusion this morning, the empty tomb. Why? Let's go back to Romans 4:25 as we conclude this lesson. Romans 4:25. Let's read it, Brother Hillary.
Who was delivered for our offenses.
He was delivered for our what?
Offenses.
Offenses or our trespasses. Anybody here ever gone too far? Anybody here ever done something you ain't had no business doing? Oh, y'all ain't gonna talk to me, huh? Since you all dressed up, huh? He was delivered or offered up for my offenses, my transgressions, my iniquities. Those are my lawless deeds, my trespasses. Read.
And was raised again.
And he was raised again.
For our justification.
Here's the reason why he was raised. For Michael Alexander's justification. Curtis Sparks' justification. Eddie Campbell's justification. Jerry Harris' justification. Peter Moss's justification. What does that mean, Brother Moss? It is a theological term. Here's what it means. It means that God has declared that we are no longer guilty. Hello? And since we are no longer guilty, we are acceptable unto him. In other words, the charges, Brother Ryan, have been dropped. Now that's shouting ground right there. You see, Jesus took me from nowhere to somewhere. He took me from sunset to sunrise. He took me from alienation to reconciliation. He took me from sin to sanctification. He took me from a slave to become a son. He took me from an old creature to become a new creature in Christ Jesus. Is that all right? So the empty tomb, how? God did something for you long time ago. I know you're sitting here. I know the day is April the 8th. But something happened for you and me over 2,000 years ago. God raised his son. In fact, God sent his son to be killed for my sins. They killed God's son. And maybe that's what we ought to say in the church more. He was killed. Maybe that'll grab us. Oh, he died? Yeah, well, child, yeah, he died. No, he was killed for my sins. They buried him for my sins. And then the third day, he got up for my acquittal. He got up so I could stand before God. And God could say, Moss, you deserve damnation. But since you're in Christ, there is therefore no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Let me tell you this and I'll conclude. Now, how does this relate to you? Well, I want you to listen to this. Either you're gonna be born once and you're gonna die twice, or you're gonna be born twice and you're gonna die once. Let me explain that. Because all of us, the way we got here, anybody other, if there are any exceptions, let me know. Everybody here in this auditorium today has a birthday. And everybody here got a mama and a daddy. Hello? Any exceptions? Nobody? So everybody here got a birthday, right? Is that correct? But everybody here also has a death day. Hello? It is appointed unto once after this. So we all gotta die. Now, we're all going to die, whether you are saved or not, you're going to die physically. Now, the only way we don't die physically is that Jesus Christ comes back while we're living. And then we're going to be changed in the twinkling of an eye. That is, quicker than you can bat your eye, your body is going to be transformed into a body that will be suitable for the environment of eternity. That right? But if you're only born once, you're going to die spiritually and you're going to die eternally. Hello? If you're born twice, that is, you've been born physically. That was your mother and your father. But the only way you can be born spiritually, and when you're born spiritually, you don't have to die spiritually. You don't have to die eternally. That's why Jesus was killed for my sins, to keep me from dying a physical, rather, not a physical, because I'm going to die physically, a spiritual and an eternal death. Well, Brother Moss, I want to know how I can be born again. You are born again by incorruptible seed, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. You want to be born again? You got to obey the gospel of Christ by hearing the gospel, believing it, repenting of your sins, confessing Christ, being baptized. And I can guarantee you this. If you refuse to be born the second time, you're going to die three times. Hello? It's up to you. If you refuse to be, Jesus said, except a man is born of the water and the Spirit, he cannot see the kingdom of God. That's why he was killed. That's why he was buried. That's why he got up. So here I am right here, April the 8th, 2012. I can do something about my destiny. Now I can sit there like ain't nothing happening. But something happening in your life every day. Something happening in my life every day that's leading to his ultimate end. Is that right? One thing I want to do, I want to be ready when the Lord call me. And I'm going to tell you something. When the Lord call you, you can have the best doctor in town. He can't save you. When the Lord call you, you can have the best and the most expensive medicine in town. It can't save you. When the Lord call you, can't nobody save you but the Lord. And the only way I can stop from dying. Nobody want to die, do you? Death is an enemy. And Jesus died. We're going to be taking this communion that prevents me from dying spiritually. Because he said, if I believe in him, I will never die. Isn't that the beauty of it? That's why we're still talking about this tomb. We still talk. As a matter of fact, we're going to be talking about it until the end of the world. Is that right? Wherever we go, we talk about the cross, don't we? We talk about the burial, don't we? And we talk about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Is that all right? So if there's anyone here today who wants to give your life to Christ, and I know the world is a deceptive place. Let me just say this. We have a lot of guests today. Don't you accept what somebody say without checking it out. There's a lot of teaching in this world religiously. Everybody got a message. Is that right? But don't you accept any teaching without testing. That is, any doctrine or theology that somebody is teaching you about what you need to do spiritually and religiously, you make sure you check it out by the scriptures. Because God's way is the way, and God's way is the only way. Is that all right? So you make your calling and your election sure. And when you do, you'll be so glad you did. And I'm going to my senior, but I want to tell you this. I'm glad today that God sent his son to rescue me. And I know sometime life can be hard, but my God is good. Is that all right? I hear him saying in Jude, now unto him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be majesty, dominion, and power. Is that all right? I tell you, God can see about you. God can come and see about you. Is that all right? I know you heard about the thriller in Manila. I know you heard about the brawl for it all. Is that all right? But the greatest battle that ever been fought is when God came down and fought my battle. Is that all right? That's why the psalmist said, lift up your head, O ye gates, and be lifted up, you everlasting doors. And the King of glory, he shall come in. Is that all right? Well, somebody say, who is this King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Is that all right? Oh, I tell you, life can knock you down and life can knock you out. Is that all right? But even though you're down, you don't have to stay down. Is that all right? Jesus Christ went down so you could get up. Is that all right? He got up not for one day. He got up not for 2 days. He got up not for 3 days. He got up forevermore. Is that all right? He got up so I could get on in life. He got up so I can get up in life. Is that all right? He got up so I could walk in newness of life. He got up so I could experience a peace that passes all understanding. Is that all right? He got up so he could be my bridge over troubled water. Is that all right? He got up so he could make a way out of no way for me. Is that all right? He got up because I was down. And just because I'm down, I don't have to stay down. Is that all right? Because he was wounded for my transgression. He was bruised for my iniquities. And he got up. But listen to me. If he didn't get up, your faith is vain. If he didn't get up, you're yet in your sins. If he didn't get up, our loved ones have perished. And if he didn't get up, we of all men are most miserable. Is that all right? But oh, Lord, I said, oh, Lord, y'all didn't hear me. Oh, Lord, he got up never to die no more. Is that all right? And because he got up, I got up. Is that all right? He got up, I'm going up. Is that all right? He got up, I'm going to stay up. Is that all right? Because he died. He was buried. He rose again for my sin, and I want y'all to take a trip with me. Come on, let's go to Jerusalem. Let's go by the tomb, and when we look in there, we will see he's not there. And somebody might ask, well, where is he? He got up, not for a day. I got to keep saying it. He got up, not for 2 days. He got up not for 3 days, but he got up forevermore. And because he lives, stand on your feet, that's the message. I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Is that all right? Are you here today? And now you know the beauty of it. The tomb is empty, but my life doesn't have to be empty. Did you hear that? The tomb is empty, but my life doesn't have to be empty. My life can be filled with the good things of God. And even though I might be having depression, God can see me through. Even though I might be in pain, I might not be feeling so well this morning, the tomb is empty. It may be a struggle financially. The tomb is empty. May have a struggle at home in my marriage. Strained relationships. Hello? The tomb is empty. Is that all right? Don't know what the future holds. I tell you, the tomb is empty. And if you can understand how it got empty, God raised them up. If you can understand why it's empty, so that I might be acceptable to God, then your life doesn't have to be empty, but your life can be filled with the good things of God. So I'm asking the Lord, if you hear, this is the invitation. And all these people here today, I know somebody needs the Lord to do something for you. Everybody all right today? If the Lord came back right now, would you be ready to go with him? Would you? Remember where you are. Sort of like the preacher one time was preaching one night in a meeting. He began to preach. He said, anybody want to go to heaven tonight? The folks say, yeah, preacher. And he kept preaching. Anybody want to go to heaven tonight? They say, yeah. He said, let me see a show of hands. How many want to go to heaven tonight? Everybody hand went up but one man. He said, let me see a show of hands. Everybody want to go to heaven. Show me your hand. Everybody hand went up but one man. And finally he said, well, sir, after the service, he said, sir, I noticed when I asked the congregation about going to heaven, I noticed you didn't raise your hand. And the man said, yeah, I thought you were trying to get a trip for the night. Y'all ready to go tonight? You ready to go? You ready to go? This is invitation time. This is prayer time. This is power time. Not only prayer time, this power time. This getting right time. This healing time. This reconciliation time. We ain't just standing here singing this song for nothing. This song, we're standing here for you. Do you need anything this morning? Do you? The Lord is saying, may I help you? It's a beautiful thing to go into a business and say, and they say, may I help you, please? That's wonderful. And I tell them what I want, Brother Wynn. And the Lord is saying, may I help you? Did you come in here burdened today? You're going to leave burden? It's some help for you. Amen? And you can sing this song. Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Why don't you hear my humble cry? You know that why on earth is that? Do just don't pass. I'm calling you, say. Why don't you hear my humble cry? You know that why on earth thus thou art called. Do just don't pass me by.